Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are coming live to you from our studios in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. You can hear our radio broadcast each and every day, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, on Global Star Radio Network. We are also streaming live video on YouTube, and audio can also be listened to on Blog Talk Radio. Just as a quick reminder, tonight is audio only. We will explain why in a little bit. We had a family emergency, and it's been a long 24 hours. Everybody's okay, but we will fill you in on what's going on with that later. In the meantime, we have a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. We are going to cover news and some current events in this first segment, followed by John Lavelle of the Warrior Poet Society. WarriorPoetSociety.us is the website, and we're going to be talking with him into the next segment on a number of important things, both some current events and a lot of tactical and other information that he will be sharing with us. And then, in hour three, Pastor David Langford, who joins us each and every Wednesday, and as Todd reminded me today, it is the last Wednesday of the month. Now, last month, Pastor Langford missed or was absent from the broadcast, or we were absent from the broadcast, can't remember which one, but we did not get to do the question and answer segment with Pastor Langford. So, as long as he is okay with it, we will bring him on, talk for a little bit, and then open up the phone lines, as we're supposed to do on the last Wednesday of each month with Pastor Langford. So, again, a great show lined up for all of you tonight. Portions of this broadcast are brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Fantastic steaks. You got to try them. Everybody I know who's tried them loves them. More on that later. Well, we got a full plate of news. As always, there's no shortage of news, whether real or artificially created. But there is plenty of that today, and there's a few places that we could start. And I guess we're going to get into Donald Trump. We're going to get into the latest of what is going on with the House Intelligence Committee. Subpoenas have been issued, and despite what the Washington Post and New York Times will say about this, they have issued subpoenas in relation to why names of Obama associates or Obama administration unmasked associates and President Donald Trump himself through classified reports that were disseminated inside the intelligence agency. But there's an interesting spin on this story, and we will definitely get into that. Hillary Clinton's back in the news. I don't know how many people saw this. This is kind of a story that I just came across maybe an hour before the show. Hillary Clinton, I take full responsibility for every decision I made, but that's not why I lost. For some reason, this criminal continues to be given airtime, be invited to speeches, even being paid to give speeches. One of the biggest criminal political candidates in American history, one of the most corrupt and, in my opinion, evil politicians in the history of the United States. Maybe that's because in this day and age of technology, the internet, smartphones, things are kept less of a secret. It is harder to hide who you are and what you have done, especially when you're such a public figure. And not only that, but, you know, you employ, you know, the most degenerate criminalistic people, more so than the mafia in your organization. And you wonder why you are called a criminal and why you lost the election. But real quick, we'll just touch on this, and then we'll jump to Trump, because I don't want to waste too much time. Two-timed failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton on Wednesday took responsibility for all her decisions during the 2016 campaign, but then said those decisions were not why she lost. Look, I take responsibility for every decision I made, but that's not why I lost. So I think it's important that we learn the real lessons from this campaign. This is what Clinton said during a Q&A at the 2017 Code Conference. She then discussed how the Russians were out to influence the American elections, the economy, and unity within the United States. Now, this is not the first time that Hillary Clinton has went on to blame other people, individuals, groups, organizations, political movements for her loss. And she continues to show her face, speak at events like the Women for Women International Conference, the 100-year anniversary of Planned Parenthood, and the graduation commencement speech she gave at Wesleyan University. She goes on to say, I was on the way to winning until the combination of James Comey's letter on October 28th and Russian WikiLeaks raised doubts in the minds of people who were inclined to vote for me but got scared off. What's really interesting about this is she does go on to say what came out from WikiLeaks is what changed, maybe has changed people's minds. It wasn't WikiLeaks itself. It was what was released by WikiLeaks after it was given or leaked to them. What was that? It wasn't just the emails. It was the contents of the emails. But you'll never hear that out of her or anybody else's mouth. She goes on to say, and the evidence for that intervening event, I think, is compelling and very persuasive. Well, I don't know how much more we're going to have to see of her in the news. I guess me even covering it gives it more credibility than it should even have or attention that it should get. But what are you going to do? She won't go away. Now, moving on to Trump, there's a few things that are pertain to Trump and surround Trump that are making headline news. How many people saw what Kathy Griffin did? Kathy Griffin is I believe she's a comedian. I know she's been on a number of TV shows. What she did is she took a picture of a mock Donald Trump, a mock decapitated head of Donald Trump, and posted it online. And I did not read exactly what she was intending to do with, you know, this head. She went on to say that she does not condone violence, that she was merely mocking the mocker in chief. Well, she was actually fired by CNN. Not that she had a big role there, and is it any surprise that somebody who is employed by CNN is running around with a mock beheaded Donald Trump, posting it on internet? In social media, like it's some kind of pinata party. I don't know. It's funny to me sometimes what these people do. But of all companies, CNN has decided to terminate their agreement with Kathy Griffin to appear on their New Year's Eve program. What a punishment. Apparently she was scheduled to appear with Anderson Cooper for their New Year's Eve broadcast. Maybe she has done that in the past. I'm not sure. But either way, the insanity continues, the threats and innuendos of violence continue. And we're really going to get into, after we get through a few of these stories with Trump, in this first segment, we're going to get to the root, the root issues of why we see things happening the way they are, why people continue to seem so unhinged, out of touch, disillusioned, crazy. Not to insult crazy people. Because there's a lot going on. And I don't think many people have been analyzing it properly. You're definitely not going to hear a truthful analysis from the mainstream media. Some in the alternative media get it. But many of those people still go with their agenda. But we're going to try to get to the truth. Now, in other news, this is something that has been being speculated about for a few weeks now, the Paris Climate Accord. First, Trump came out publicly and said that he was going to withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement, the 2015 Climate Agreement. Then we saw quotes from him or people close to him as advisors and whatnot come out and say, you know, well, he's not sure that he's going to leave the Climate Accord. He might decide to stay in it if certain terms and things are changed and certain terms are met. Well, today we see the report, Trump abandoning global climate pact decision very soon. U.S. allies around the world sounded alarms Wednesday as President Donald Trump seemed close to pulling the United States out of the landmark Paris Climate Accord. Trump himself kept everybody in suspense on the questions of staying or leaving, saying he was still listening to a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, but promising a decision very soon. The White House signaled that Trump was likely to decide on exiting the global pact, fulfilling one of his principal campaign pledges. Though top aides were deeply divided, and the decision may not be entirely clear-cut, aides were still deliberating on caveats in the language, according to some officials. Everyone cautioned that no decision was final until Trump announced it. The president has been known to change his thinking on major decisions and tends to seek counsel from both inside and outside advisors, listening to many different opinions and waiting until the last minute to make a decision, according to this AP article. Anyway, I'm not going to go through and read this whole article except just a few key points. Trump's predecessor, Barack Obama, enacted the deal without U.S. Senate ratification. A formal withdrawal would take years, experts say, a situation that led the president of the European Commission to speak dismissively of Trump on Wednesday. That's not a big surprise. Just about every world leader, specifically those who are aligned with globalism, specifically those who are embracing radical Islam, not only embracing, conforming their populations to radical Islam, criminalizing criticism against radical Islam. These are the people of the European Commission who are speaking dismissively of Trump. The article goes on to talk about Trump's mindset in the decision-making. Some argue he doesn't even completely understand the terms of this accord or how important it is. They're making the argument that he is not intelligent. We've seen that. They continue to push that 25th Amendment theory that he is mentally unfit to serve as president just because they don't like the way he thinks. So, bottom line, Trump says he's pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord. No doubt, which is a globalist, globally imposed deal for the bankers, for the elite, to continue to grip down on the, as they say, the target is global warming. But the real target is the freedoms and abilities of the people all across the globe. The ability to produce energy, cheap energy through coal. The ability to drive yourself to work, even though your car emits carbon emissions. How many people saw Obama go to Germany to speak about climate change and lecture all the wonderful citizens in the world on how we need to reduce our carbon footprint, how irresponsible we are? As he traveled to and from Germany in a private jet, with a 14-car motorcade. And he wants to lecture us about global warming and carbon emissions. All in all, no, it's good that they're withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord. It is just another United Nations Agenda 21, Agenda 30 implementation arm. So this isn't the first. It won't be the last. They will find other ways to try to snake their way back into the control. And we see that some of the government agencies, the federal agencies, despite the new administration and their stance on man-made global warming science, continue to dig in by, one of the latest examples was in California, they fined a farmer $2.8 million because he did not apply for a permit to till his ground and plant his seeds. that tells you everything you need to know about who really owns your property. You think you own a property, don't pay property taxes on it. See how long it's yours. Anyway, all right, we got about 10 minutes left before the break. The important story that I find is important that I want to talk about is there's two things. One, I don't know how many people saw the attack in Portland. I didn't completely understand it, where a Nazi Muslim attacked, killed two people, stabbed a third while yelling anti-Islamic slurs in the street. Apparently, at his arraignment, I believe it was today, he had to be removed from the courtroom for saying he was going to destroy and kill Antifa. The media tried to paint him as a right-wing Trump supporter, even though his Facebook page revealed that he hated Donald Trump, but he also hated Hillary Clinton just as much. And Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, came out and, you know, tried to tear Trump a new one, saying, look what the rhetoric and your ideology has caused your supporters to do. Well, it turns out the guy was an avid Jill Stein supporter. That thing got deleted quickly. But back to Trump. Obviously, Trump and what? Trump and Russia. Well, a little bit, not really. This is a story about the investigation by the House Intelligence Panel, who issued 7 subpoenas today. Now, the title's misleading, because this title from, I believe it was the New York Times, says House Intelligence Panel issues 7 subpoenas in Russian probe. 4 are related to Russia's investigation. 3 are related to the unmasking controversy, sources say. Now, this is important, the unmasking. Remember Susan Rice? Remember it started with Donald Trump issuing a series of tweets about how the Obama administration wiretapped and surveilled Trump and his associates before and after he was elected president? Not only that, the... who was it? Susan Rice. And a few others had to admit that... And they tried to cover it up by saying it was accidental that the names of Americans were unmasked and that information was disseminated in intelligence briefings to a number of officials, some of whom did not hold the proper classification. It was a big deal, the Susan Rice story. And if you remember, we're going to go through a little bit of history about why it was such a big deal when Donald Trump issued the tweets saying that the Obama administration was spying on him. Do you remember the firestorm that caused in the media? Well, if you don't, I got some examples for you, and it should bring it very quickly back to the forefront of your memory. On March 4th, Donald Trump issued the tweets about the surveillance of Barack Obama, his predecessor, of Trump and the Trump administration and associates during, before, and after the 2016 elections. Trump wrote in a tweet on March 4th, "Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found." And he goes on from there. Now, there was a huge backlash to his claims of being surveilled by Obama. New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, every single news organization, just about every single publication that's mainstream, and all their little puppet talking heads called Trump a liar. I'm going to give you a few examples. How many people remember what was said by Don Lemon? You remember Don Lemon issued a disclaimer at the beginning of his broadcast the night that Trump accused Obama of spying on him? He even went on to say that he would not aid and embed Trump's false surveillance claims. And he obviously was he carried the water for Obama. But the same day that Trump issued those tweets, CNN Don Lemon came out and said There is no evidence whatsoever supporting Donald Trump's claim about having been spied on illegally. No evidence whatsoever. And I'm not going to aid and embed the people who are trying to misinform you. And Don Lemon went on to say much more. Even Media Matters and Snopes got in on this. Right-wing media and fringe outlets falsely claim Faraka's interview shows Obama wiretapped Trump. Now, Faraka is... Oh, goodness. She was one of the people inside of the Obama inner circle inside the intelligence agency. So we have... And that's just a few examples. We have Don Lemon. We had Jake Tapper. We had Andrew Cuomo. Or Chris Cuomo, I'm sorry. All demanding immediately, the instant Trump released those tweets, demanding evidence, calling Trump a liar, saying, how dare you spread this false news and false information? You have not one shred of proof. This was after 6 months or more of them continuing to push the narrative without a single shred of evidence, proof, or even a false claim from a witness. All their claims were from anonymous sources. Nobody even had the guts to come forward with their lie. Anyway, this is what was said by PolitiFact as a timeline to the Trump lies on the surveillance. Donald Trump has stuck to the false claim that former President Barack Obama wiretapped him. Here's a timeline of how it happened, and there is no evidence supporting his claim. Now they go through all what Trump said and a few of some of the backlash from the mainstream media pundits, people in government, like I said, the New York Times, blah, blah, blah. But they continue to harp on the fact that this is an absurd claim. Obama would never abuse his powers this way. Trump is a liar. He makes it up as he goes. He's crazy. And on and on and on. And I'm only through that he tweeted that March 4th, and there's a timeline on this website, on this article. I'm not even up to the 8th yet, or the 10th. Every day there's at least, five quotes from people saying how they demand to see evidence, and without the evidence, there's no proof. And even if there was proof, it wouldn't matter because Obama would never do that. Now, when it comes to their narrative with Russia, obviously, we know that evidence doesn't need to be shown. All that they need to do is make the claim. And if they say it enough, people will start to believe it. But back to the report on the subpoenas issued, as we're running out of time in this segment. There were three subpoenas issued related to questions about how and why the names of associates of Donald Trump were unredacted and distributed within classified reports by the Obama administration officials during the transition between administrations. The CIA, the NSA, and the FBI are looking for more information on what is called unmasking, even though obviously they already know about it. This article goes on to talk about Republicans on the committee have been pushing for a thorough investigation of how the names of Trump officials became exposed in classified intelligence reports based on community intercepts. And this article continues to go on and make excuses as to how even the unmasking is nothing out of the ordinary. Even though they have continued to say that Obama has never, even Snopes, Obama never illegally spied on any Americans ever. James Clapper, head of the NSA, or the head of the intelligence committee. There was no illegal spying. No Americans were ever surveilled, directly or indirectly. The article goes on to talk about the unmasking and how the requests of unmasking by top officials in the intelligence industry are not rare. But they believe, the investigators believe, that the unmasking of Trump campaign officials during the transition were politically motivated. Now, do we hear Don Lemon? Do we hear the New York Times? Anybody willing to step up and say they were wrong? Absolutely not. They will continue to lie and they will continue to ignore it. And this I know we're running out of time. I went long on that because I got a lot more to get into. Maybe after this next guest, we can get into it. But we are in a war. We talk about that all the time. We are in a war for a political war, an economical war, a physical war, an emotional war, and most importantly, the spiritual war. These people have not only declared war on us and our minds, bodies, and souls, they've also declared war on the truth. And they've directly declared war on God. In Psalm 11, verse 3, it says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And if we don't have time to get into it after the next guest, maybe this is a good place to start up and pick up with Pastor Langford when he comes on. I know I get to ask him questions every week, but maybe I'll ask him the first one this week too. But no, I got a lot more to say on this because it's very important. I want to get into how these people, these are unelected overlords and their brainwashed minions continue to destroy the very foundations of not only this country, but the foundations that God had established for us since the beginning of humankind. Folks, we will be right back after these short messages. You're listening to this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. My mind is so like mush right now, I had to look at the date. When we come back, John Lavelle will be our guest. His website is warriorpoetsociety.us. That's warriorpoetsociety.us. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, "Readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced." Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, "Fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting." Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Thank you.
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. We got a fascinating guest lined up for you, a Mr. John Lovell. Go to his website. It is the warriorpatriotsociety.us, warriorpatriotsociety.us, and make sure you subscribe to his YouTube channel. You can do that by searching his name, John Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, or right off of his website, there is a video button where you can go to his videos on his directly from his website. And at the bottom of the site, there is a Facebook icon as well as a YouTube icon to take you right there. John is a very interesting guy. I just met him today, talked to him for the first time today, but got to check out some of his YouTube videos. And, you know, we talk a lot about preparedness. We talk a lot of it, about situational awareness recently with Bob Griswold. We see the craziness that is continuing to engulf our world, from just things that happen normally, you know, flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. Those disasters are terrible enough and, you know, cause such devastation wherever they happen. But what about what we've been seeing lately? Political violence, terror attacks, the threat of economic implosions, war with a number of countries, North Korea being the first one that comes to mind. When all this stuff happens, or when any of this stuff happens, you know, you've heard from some of our sponsors, whether it's, you know, Alan Riggs of Greenovative, or Trading Post in the Woods, Texas Ready, The Seeds, Bob Griswold. All these things that you have are a major part of preparing. The other part is knowing how to use them and how to survive with that training. Before we get to Mr. Lovell, I want to bring you a quick word from Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks are fantastic. Dads love Omaha Steaks. It's a perfect gift for Father's Day. How many people are still out there trying to find a perfect gift? Does your dad love to grill, but hates the hassle and poor quality of the grocery store? Even me. Don't tell anybody. I got my dad some Omaha Steaks, and I know he's going to love them. Hopefully he shares them with me. But no, Omaha Steaks has the perfect day, perfect Father's Day gift package. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how the Father's Day, for only $49.99, you can get a limited time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com. You have to enter HH in the search bar to apply the savings. There's so much that comes in these packs. It's unbelievable. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to our listeners for Father's Day. It really is an amazing deal, which you will get 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package. Listen to what this includes. Two tender mild filet mignons, two bold beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks, four juicy boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha steak burgers, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, one of my favorites, four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning packets, plus get four additional burgers free. Again, this is a limited-time package, only for $49.99. When you go to omahasteaks.com, type HH in the search bar, and add Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait till the offer ends. Go to omahasteaks.com, type HH in the search bar, grab your dad, and fire up the grill. All right. Our guest this hour is John Lovell, the Warrior Poet Society, warriorpoetsociety.us. Again, subscribe to his YouTube channel. Mr. Lovell, welcome to the Hagman Report.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, good to be here, man.
Well, it's great to have you. Since this is the first time you're coming on, how about we do a little bit of introduction and you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got into what you're doing?
Yeah, sure. So I run an organization called the Warrior Poet Society. The idea is it's a call for a more elite protector. Well, you know, we're really interested in three different kind of aspects that go into being a warrior poet. and that's maximizing conviction, it's intellect, and it's great skill and being good protectors. So conviction means, you know, we're motivated by higher purpose. That may be God, country, family, whatever higher purpose is for you, but we're men and women of conviction. We're also care to maximize intellect. We understand we rule the animals not because we're faster or stronger, sharpest claws or sharpest teeth. It's because of intellect. And I believe that's how we'll rule our enemies as well. And then skill and defense or violence so that we'd be able to protect those we love. So we're protectors who are motivated by love and informed by intellect so that we can train hard and train smart to be efficient protectors. So that's kind of what a warrior poet is. The Warrior Poet Society is really driven around the social media content that it puts out. I'm constantly doing YouTube videos all the time of and just a myriad of different subjects of home defense, situational awareness, pro tips to shoot pistols and rifles better, just different tactics, low light stuff, gear reviews, you name it. It's pretty fun. I'm about to release an interview I did with a professional hacker on cybersecurity. I'll probably launch that tomorrow. Fascinating, real fun stuff.
Sounds like
anyway, that's kind of the media that's going out. And then the training aspect, I'm a professional firearms and tactics trainer. That's kind of my full-time job. And so I travel around the country just teaching firearms and tactics to folks.
And you're also a former special operations soldier.
Yes, that's correct.
With the 75th Ranger Regiment.
That's right.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, in this country, with our rights becoming coming under assault, the Constitution, being undermined at every turn from activist judges to, political action groups to politicians. Not only do we need people to own firearms, but those people that own them need to know how to use them. And this is the man to talk to when learning how to effectively and tactically use your firearm.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I do, man. Yep.
So where do you want to start tonight, John? We got a bunch of subjects we can get into, a bunch of avenues we can start out with.
I'm
going to turn it over to you, and we'll okay.
Really, we just had a whole host of different questions and topics, and I was hoping you would you would start the serve, and we'll just kind of see where it goes, man.
Well, I got a good one.
All right, bring it on.
Watching your one of the YouTube videos I got to see today was the more recent one you did on the Manchester terror attack.
Right.
And in this video, and folks, again, go to John Lovell on YouTube, JohnLovell, or you can just go to his website and hit the YouTube button and subscribe there. Go ahead.
Yeah, you are hooking me up with the plugs. Like, I want to get off the phone and go check my stuff out. I mean, good job, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people have books to sell. Like, a lot of people have events to promote. It's really easy.
I appreciate it. Manchester. Let's do it.
Yeah, so in Manchester, we had this horrific terror attack where a homicide bomber goes in there with a bomb full of ball bearings and nails and targets a mostly female, younger crowd, as it was a pop icons event that was hit. And we saw a lot of chaos in the arena. I don't know if you've watched some of the videos. Many people thought it was
balloons. I did see some of the footage. Yeah.
At first.
Yeah.
There was a lot of confusion. People were kind of trampling over each other. And we know a lot of times with these terror attacks that the first detonation is not always the most effective or the last. As many times they try to set off a bomb, with as much damage as they can, leading people to another direction where they have another device waiting to detonate to create more damage. Thankfully, that did not happen this time. But from what you saw, what are some of the things you can tell our audience that you noticed and maybe things that they could avoid in the future if they find themselves in this situation?
Sure. Just kind of overview, just my visceral thoughts and my reactions. And some of this was put in the YouTube video as well. And keying off something that you said, if they thought it was popping balloons, and it was very confusing. Typically, I tell my students, whether it's in firearms or tactics classes, I'll say, guys, if I was to describe any battlefield, and whatever your battlefield is, it could be from a law enforcement perspective, it could be a military, or it could be a responsible armed citizen that got just in the wrong place at the wrong time, like these Manchester folks. The typical word that typifies any type of battlefield like that, I use the word confusion. And that's what it is. And so I get a little bit of a, unfortunate chuckle when I watch folks that just don't know any better. They'll watch different movies and they feel like, you know what? If I was in that position, I know what I'd do. I'd jump out of the window and do two aerials, back tuck, land on my feet, draw two pistols, and single-handedly execute Al-Qaeda, and we have these pipe dreams of how we would respond in different scenarios, be it an active shooter scenario. I talked to somebody who just, one of my students, this was probably within the last maybe year, and he during kind of like a home defense class that I was doing for him, he quite honestly said, yeah, I was working at a mall, as a manager at some type shop. Someone put a gun over the counter, and I had thought if somebody ever did that before, I would do XYZ. He says, but before I knew what was happening, I realized that I had leapt over the counter, sprinted outside, and I didn't realize what I had done until I was in the parking lot. He's like, I just straight up ran. I had no idea I would do that. And typically, unless you have specifically trained to react to certain very, very stressful and violent environments, you don't know what you'll do. Even me, who has been tested by fire many different occasions, there's no guarantee I would perform particularly well. So as people are just confusion, maybe this is just kind of a rabbit trail, but as you just said, confusion, and you're talking about readiness and preparedness, and a lot of folks think that they can just kind of sit in front of their computer, think it through, develop a little plan, and say to themselves, you know what? If something like that ever happened to me, I would do X, Y, Z. And I think it's important for us to have those thoughts. It's important for all the listeners in to kind of make those micro plans. Hey, if I was here, this is what I'd do. And that's a good, healthy thing. But it's an entirely different matter to assume that you would actually perform that way. Because the fact of the matter is, until you've trained under intense stress and violence, and a lot of times that's my job to bring about calmness and proficiency under great amount of fear and stress. It's part of how I make my money, is stress inoculation, if you will. And none of it even really guarantees. I've performed very well in gunfights, and I've performed less than I would have hoped for, and I'm here by the grace of God. But regardless of one thing that probably one of the most critical things that we could do is be able to think clearly in such situations, that we would understand this isn't popping balloons, and understand that, as all the chaos ensues and breaks loose and you don't know what to do or where to go, and then you see a gunman and you imagine that you would do XYZ, but now you are frozen in terror and you never imagined you would be gripped by that fear as well. One of the best things you could do is seek out training beforehand to help inoculate you from the adverse effects of paralyzing fear.
Absolutely. We talk on this show a lot about how not necessarily fear all the time, but how when we allow our emotions to control our thought and actions, our thoughts and actions, how it's usually the wrong choice. Emotions can be great. At the same time, they can be dangerous, depending on, sure, on how we understand ourselves and how we act on those emotions. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, because you did mention this, you don't know how you'd act in certain situations, and a lot of people like the Monday morning quarterback and say, well, I would have done this, I would have done that.
And those are some of my favorites. They are some of my favorites as well.
Yeah.
You try to be nice, watching, but...
Yeah, when I was watching the footage of the aftermath or the what was transpiring with the Manchester Arena attack, I saw two things. I saw people screaming, and then there was kind of a herd mentality where people behind those people in front screaming, the screams continue to move backwards, even though there was one event. Obviously, people didn't understand if the danger was still there or not, and there were more than dozens of people blown to bits right in front of them, so it's obviously understandable that these people would be completely out of their mind, freaked out. But it spread throughout the whole arena, and then you saw people, even though the bomb was in the foyer, or basically in the outer hall of that arena, the whole inside of the arena, which was full of people, you saw most, begin to scream, run, kind of knock over people, a little bit of trampling over people. Little girls were jumping off 15-foot railings with no immediate danger around them. Not that they knew that for sure after what just happened. And then if you watch the video a little bit longer, you see some of the people who are left just casually walking out. And
yep.
I thought to myself, the first thing I would do in a situation like that is look around. If I don't spot the danger, to me, one of the most dangerous things you can do is if you see a crowd running in one direction, automatically just go along with that crowd because you think it's the right thing to do. Or if you don't see the danger, I think that's very important that, we need to be aware of what's going on around us. We need to be aware for an immediate danger if there is danger, if we go one way or the other. But to instantly react, obviously, none of us were in that situation. But on the other hand, if I saw a bunch of people being blown up in front of me, I might be screaming like a girl, putting my hands in the air, running away too. So,
I love that you say that. And I think the very first sobering thought we should all have is, I don't know what I would do. I hope I would do XYZ to ensure that I have a higher likelihood of performing that way. I am going to do the following things in my little individual holistic training regimen. But I think a lot of folks just get caught up in that wild spreading fear stampede where they're just not able to process what percentage of that crowd believed beforehand that if they ever got in this circumstance, they would perform like they did. I dare say very few of them would ever dream that they wouldn't be able to think clearly or see, and then you can get auditory exclusion, visual narrowing. You just kind of your senses just kind of shut off. You're not able to process the world. We kind of become big dumb animals under fear, and so a lot of that's difficult. I think approaching this subject with humility is a good thing. Just like me, just because I have performed well in the past is no guarantee that I will do so well in the future. And so I think approaching it with humility, recognizing that ultimate equalizer of fear is not something to be taken granted, and it's kind of in our assumption we pigeonhole ourselves so that we're going to be unsuccessful in the moment. So I think that's probably the first step. If you don't have humility, you're not going to seek training. If you don't seek training, you're not going to be inoculated against the stress and fear that's going to happen, and we're going to fall right into that running herd, even though we had told ourselves we wouldn't. Being able to think clearly amidst fear and stress is everything.
Well, let me ask you this, and I agree with you. It's one thing to train for scenarios like this. It's one thing to, at least, when you're playing sports, basketball is a great example. What coaches like to do is you have one or two go-to plays where you run them constantly. And they say, they want you to run them so much that if you had to, you could run them in your sleep. So when you're tired and the game's almost over and you need to make that play, you have that one or two go-to plays that you've practiced so often that you will be able to execute it with no problem. But you can only get so much training for life or death combat type situations. Correct?
Sure. And when I say training, I mean it in the broadest holistic sense possible. When I read the Bible, or I read The Art of War, when I read Stephen Pressfield's Gates of Fire, that is training to me. When I go work out at the gym or I go for a run, that is training. When I go down to the range and I'm just trying to burn it down, shooting and moving, that is training. When I am running towards something that, you know, gets my adrenaline up or causes me fear, I'm like, that's a scary thing. I should go do that more. That's training. Whenever I'm miserable and just, uncomfortable, that's good training too. Whenever I'm thinking through the philosophical and theological problems of, am I willing to die for that? Could I take a life? What would I take a life for? Would I die for my family? Would I die for your family? Would I die for the family of someone I'd never even met? Would I die for my country? Would I die for my country as it is now? Or would I just die for my country as it used to be? You know, if those are all the different questions that you got to be able to think through, and I think people will ask them to answer them too quickly oftentimes. Like an active shooter, a lot of the conventional wisdom is hide or run. Don't try to do the white knight thing, because that oftentimes ends very, very badly. Also, there's some states that have a duty to retreat clause, which basically is, if you can get away, as if I understand this correctly, I'm not a lawyer, as I understand this, this means that if there's an active shooter, or if there is someone breaking into your house and you can get away, you must get away. You can't close on that threat. You can't go through and eliminate the threat. I'm not in that state. I live in Georgia, where if somebody is committing a felonious act and I'm armed to the teeth, I get to come bring the fight. I get to come out and play, in which case, I can go to work. The ethical dilemma is... Yeah.
I mean, if you're in your house, you should not have to retreat. I mean, I'm in Pennsylvania. It's a standard ground state too, and if you don't have to use deadly force, I don't think you should, if you can help it.
Of course,
but that doesn't mean you should have to be. You should have to retreat in your own home as you're being robbed and assaulted possibly by an armed gunman. That you should have to when you have the means and the wherewithal to defend yourself. I don't agree with that whatsoever, and it's unfortunate that those laws are even on the books.
I love that you made the delineation there between loss of life and property as well. Property is not worth dying for, and it's not worth killing for either. That's why I have car insurance and house insurance and every other type of insurance that I gotta have. I mean, it's kind of like, that's all right, I've got insurance. Go ahead. That is definitely fine. You want my wallet? Here you go. Yes, I am able to kill that person without them ever really even see me launch my counterattack. But allow it this. I will give you my wallet and pay for your life so that you may go away. And that's if I don't feel threatened. If this guy has, if I read the scenario differently and I say, no, this guy, he's not just looking for property. This guy may actually hurt someone. Then I'm going to respond differently. But yes, but I like that you made that distinction. I'm not looking for a fight. I don't like fighting. I've done it enough. I want to live a peaceful, nice life, and I love people, and I don't want anyone getting hurt. Violence is kind of a last resort, necessary tool to protect life. And if we're going to be great lovers of people, I think that we need to be great warriors so that we can protect those people, because the world is not a friendly place, and it seems to be getting worse.
Well, what makes you say that? No, it really is.
Gee golly, I don't know. Do you own a television?
Yes, I do. It is getting crazy out there. And what's even crazier is, in a nation that was founded among constitutional lines to the point where all these things were thought of and drawn out and were supposed to be there as protections for the people against from governments. not for governments to be able to use to go and enforce, you know, different laws and regulations on people, but they've continued to gut the Constitution so much. It's so bad, the political divide in America, the, I'll call it the liberal insanity that I see, it's political insanity because it's on both sides of the aisle, is so bad that to say that you stand for America, or that you're proud of America, or even flying in a flag, an American flag, you're considered a traitor, an enemy. If you own a gun, you're an extremist. Yeah. And these are all the things that this country was founded on. And it's absolutely mind-blowing to see, not only, I mean, you expect to see these satanic globalists to try to push these agendas through. What you don't expect is the people who've been blessed by being born and brought up in this nation to go along you know, with their brain dead herd mentality and try to force it down everybody else's throat. And what I don't understand is, if you hate America so much, you hate the law so much, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But anyway, John, we're up against a break.
Yeah, sure.
All right, folks, you're listening to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Our guest in through the next hour is John Lovell. His website is the WarriorPoetSociety.us. WarriorPoetSociety.us. And if you search his name on YouTube, or you go onto his website and click the YouTube icon, you'll find it. John Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L. We will be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmannReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove, and an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. TimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288. PreciousTimberProfits.com. PreciousTimberProfits.com.